ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टिकी। टुडे वी कंटिन्यूइंग टू रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 22 टाइटल द मैरिज ऑफ कर्दम मुनि एंड देवहूति वर्स नंबर 22। Verse number 18. Tam partayantim lalamam asevita sri charanair adrishtam वत्सा मनोर उच्च पद स्वसारम को नानुमन्यते बुधो अभियथा तां पार्थयन्तीं ललना ललामम असेवित श्री चरणैर अदृष्टाम वत्सा मनोर उच्च पद स्वसारम को नानुमन्येत बुधो अभियथाम तां पार्थयन्तीं ललना ललामम असेवित श्री चरणैर अदृष्टाम वत्सा मनोर उच्च पद स्वसारम को नानुमन्येत बुधो अभियथाम। वर्ड टू वर्ड प्लीज रिपीट। ताम हर प्रतायंतिम सीकिंग ललना ललामम The ornament of women. Ashevita Shri Charanaihi. By those who have not worshipped the feet of Lakshmi. Adrishtam. Not seen. Vatsam. Beloved daughter. Manoho. Of Swayambhu Manu. Uchapadaha. Of Uttanapada. Swasaram, sister, kaha, what, na anyu manyeta, would not welcome, budaha, wise man, abhiyatam, who has come of her own accord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. What wise man would not welcome her, the very ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Swayambhuva Manu and sister of Uttanapada? Those who have not worshipped the gracious feet of the goddess of fortune cannot even perceive her. Yet she has come of her own accord to seek my hand. Purport. Kardama Muni praised the beauty and qualification of Devahuti in different ways. Devahuti was actually the ornament of all ornamented beautiful girls. A girl becomes beautiful by putting ornaments on her body. But Devahuti was more beautiful than the ornaments. She was considered the ornament of the ornamented beautiful girls. Demigods and Gandharvas were attracted by her beauty. Kardama Muni, although a great sage, was not a denizen of the heavenly planets. But it is mentioned in the previous verse that Vishwavasu, who came from heaven, was also attracted by the beauty of Devahuti. Besides her personal beauty, she was the daughter of Emperor Swayambhuva Manu and sister of King Uttanapada. Who would refuse a hand of such a girl? ఓమజ్ఞానతిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదామయ్యం దదాతి స్మ పదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాంబితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావగుప్తం హరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి విషవాంసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ అతీతానాం భావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. వి కంటిన్యూ టు హియర్ ద డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద బ్యూటీ ఆఫ్ దేవహుతి బై కర్దమముని. In previous verses, he, Kalamuni, directly glorified her beauty by describing how she is very beautiful, her bodily luster alone, she excels the beauty of her ornaments. That was like a direct glorification of Devahuti. And then the verse that was discussed yesterday, how by seeing her beauty, the Gandharva Vishwavasu was filled with, became stupid by infatuation and fell from his airplane. This is an indirect way of glorifying her beauty. By seeing her beauty, someone else got so much attracted. And in this current verse, Kashyapamuni describes her as the ornament of womanhood. And he also lists the additional qualities. So she is a daughter of Swayambhuva Manu and sister of Uttanapada. Then he brings up an important point, how Devahuti cannot be seen by ordinary persons. She can be seen only by those who have worshipped the feet of Mother Lakshmi and Lord Narayan. Now, this may raise a question, then how come the Gandharva Vishwavasu was able to see her? Acharyas explained that Vishwavasu saw only the bodily luster of Devahuti and not her actual form. So, since Kashyapa Muni is a devotee of Mother Lakshmi and Lord Narayan, he is able to perceive and see Devahuti, who has come along with her parents to his hermitage. Now, in this verse he is saying, he is again glorifying how she is so glorious that who will not accept her hand? She has got so many good qualities and she is the ornament of all the women. Prabhupada in the purport explains how a woman becomes beautiful by putting on a lot of ornaments. And Devahuti is considered the ornament of all ornamented beautiful women. Her beauty was so great that even the demigods and the inhabitants of heaven, they also got attracted, the Gandharvas. I was just talking about this verse, and to Gopamdesh Prabhu, he mentioned about how the qualities of a womanhood are also there, described by Krishna himself in the 10th canto as one of the opulences. Then when I started to read the activities of Devahuti and her character, there's no wonder that it exactly matches what Krishna says in the 10th chapter. It's 10.34, where he mentions about how among women I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience. When these qualities are given in Bhagavad Gita, we get an abstract idea. But when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, and when persons are exhibiting these qualities, they become more clear to us. When a person who is nearby us, who is exhibiting those qualities, then it becomes easy for us to learn by seeing them. That's why scriptures not only tell the qualities, but they also give descriptions of the personalities who exhibit those qualities. Also, in the 7th canto, Narad Muni, when describing the four social classes, there also he describes the quality of woman, how she has to be devoted to her husband, how she has to keep the household clean, and he lists various other qualities. She should be serving her husband with faith, love and devotion. Now, in this connection, the ornament of women is not only the external necklaces or things that they wear, but also the qualities that they exhibit. So, here we will try to see how Devahuti is exhibiting those qualities and how she was serving her husband nicely and what did she get as a result of that. To contrast this, we will also see another example from 3rd canto about Kashyapa and Diti. So, Bhagavatam gives a contrast so that we can understand how, in the particular same scenario, how different people act in different ways and they end up getting different results. Diti was also anxious to have a child, and she approaches Kashyapa. And she directly puts forward her request, and she says that, she openly says that, I am afflicted by lust and I am envious of my co-wives. And the time, place in which she was telling is, Kashyapa was just finishing her oblations in the evening time. He was offering oblations to the fire. And even though her husband was closing his eyes and trying to meditate, Diti was trying to speak loudly, shout at him and ask him for this kind of a proposal. So we will look at the words that she was using and how she is also trying to justify what she was asking for. So initially she directly blames her husband that you are responsible for this. You are responsible for me becoming lusty because you have left me alone at home. Simultaneously she uses sweet words to address her husband. And she says that I have been serving you so much so long, but my co-wives, they have all got children but I don't have. So I am afflicted by lust and also I am envious of my co-wives. In this particular scenario, we can see how the approach of Diti is very narrow-minded and she is focused on immediate gains. She does not consider what will be the long-term consequences of such a proposal. And the purpose of having progeny is to bring forward good progeny to the home. But she did not consider the time that she is approaching and what will be the consequences of that. So when the senses are overpowered by lust, the thinking ability becomes shadowed and you cannot think properly. She goes on to justify further by saying that my social status will improve and your social status will also improve. Therefore, you must engage in this act now. So, Acharyas explain that the fame of a woman who is greatly respected by their husbands and in whom husbands of your quality are again born as sons spread throughout the whole world. Another way of looking at the same argument is, hey, you are standing in front of me because your parents had sex. So what's stopping you? So let us indulge in this. So this is more like taking it right up to the face and forcing him to engage in that act. She also quotes in the past how she and along with her sisters gave her their heart to Kashyapa and they were all equally faithful. And she again and again questions why they have got children but I did not have. She justifies again by saying one who is in a great distress, you don't have to follow any rules. You just have to pacify them. So now in the purport to that section, when Maitreya is commenting on how Diti is contaminated by lust, Srila Prabhupada explains how Kashyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he did not have sufficient strength to refuse his wife, who was thus afflicted. It appears that Kashyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment with his wife. And because he was not a strong man, he tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains how, in that particular situation, if Kashyapa had shown some amount of anger and forceful words, that would have driven away the lust in the mind of Diti. But he did the opposite. He started to speak pacifying words, which just kept on increasing the lust of Diti. So we'll see the words of Kashyapa as well here. He started glorifying his wife, saying that you are the source of all the perfections of liberation. And he also says how a wife can act as a vessel by which you can cross this material existence. If you see this example, this analogy of a boat that is used to cross a material existence is usually given to Guru and Krishna. We have this verse from Bhagavatam where the favorable breezes and then the boat, every analogy is given and it refers to Guru and Krishna. But here Kashyapa is using that same analogy towards his wife. And Prabhupada explains that this kind of extreme glorification is just considered like a joke. He will go on to glorify that is like the better half and wife is like a commander who can protect the fort. So man who possesses a good wife does not create disturbance in the society. So he goes on to glorify, she is the queen of the home and your request has to be fulfilled. And he just gives a weak argument saying the time at this moment is not very auspicious, so please wait for a few seconds. But simultaneously what's happening is these words are just adding to the fire of the lust of Diti. It doesn't seem to subside but it just kept on increasing. And we see that how by the act of Diti she goes to the extreme of persuading Kashyapa. Despite the warnings that at this time the auspicious Lord Shiva will be going in his bull And so despite these warnings, she did not seem to understand. Later, after performing the act, Kashyapa comes back to his senses, and Diti also regrets how she has committed such an act and how she should not have done. And then she prays to her husband and then later on to Lord Shiva so that he does not curse her. In those sections, Prabhupada clearly explains how to come out of such situation. He says that to have clear consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one has to worship Vasudeva. In order to get release from false ego, one has to worship Sankarsana. If one wants to get free from mental disturbances, one has to worship Aniruddha. Similarly, to be fixed in one's intelligence, one has to worship Pradyumna, who is reached through the worship of Brahman. There, in that section, Prabhupada is clearly giving us a warning how practitioners of Krishna consciousness, they should not be careless. He says, not only must one come to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness, but one must also be very careful. Any inattentiveness or carelessness may cause fall down. This fall down is due to false ego. So, in that particular section, how he explains that the desires of human beings cannot be suppressed, but it has to be purified. But it has to be purified under the direction of spiritual master. And only the spiritual master will be able to purify the desires by engaging the disciple in a particular service. And he recommends in that section, Prabhupada contrasts how Srila Haridas Thakur was strong enough and he could, he was not allured by the material energy, whereas Kashyapa did. Here, when coming back to this particular section of Kardamomani and Devahuti, they will also have a similar scenario where they are also going to procreate. And the way we will look at how Devahuti served her husband, that is described actually in the next chapter. And that is when we can identify and see each qualities that she is exhibiting when she is serving Kardamomani. And it's a great lesson which we can learn by the qualities that she is exhibiting. It's a nice verse from 23rd chapter, 3:23-2. Vishrambena atma saucena gauravena damena cha shushrushaya shahrudena vacha madhuraya chabo. O Vidura, Devahuti served her husband with intimacy and great respect, with control of senses, with love and with sweet words. In that purport, Prabhupada explains how the word Vishrambena means with great intimacy and Gauravena means with great reverence. The husband is to be treated intimately and served with love and devotion. At the same time, he should not be considered an equal to the wife, but as always as a superior. There is always a tendency to have take things for granted when you treat people equally. But here intimacy must be there, but also a kind of reverence must also be there. Vishrambena means intimacy and Gauravena means with great reverence. So she was able to skillfully combine these two qualities and then she was able to serve her husband. And other qualities that are described here are using sweet words and then control of senses. Damena means control of senses. So here we can see how It is totally contrasting the way in which Diti was approaching Kashyapa. And Devahuti's qualities are gradually, you can see how elevated she is. When she was able to control her senses, she goes to the extent of performing the same austerity which which Kardama is doing. And she, due to those austerities, she gets emaciated. She loses her beauty. Women do not generally like to lose their beauty, but she sacrifices that also to serve her husband. In that section of those purports, Srila Prabhupada brings out this point, how we need to learn from the actions of Devahuti as to how a disciple has to serve his spiritual master. When serving his spiritual master, the disciple has to control his senses. He has to use sweet words. He has to serve him with intimacy. But at the same time, you don't get too familiar with your spiritual master. The quality which Devahuti combined and served her husband, it's a very great lesson that as a disciple, he has to be the same qualities he needs to have when he is serving his spiritual master. Now, as a result, so when we see these are the qualities, and these are like the ornaments of Devahuti. These qualities are bringing out more beauty in her than her physical and through the beauty that she gained by putting on more ornaments. So when the right time came, Devahuti also expressed her desire to have children, because it was already promised that Kardama Muni will have children in the womb of Devahuti. So she waited for the right moment. She satisfied her husband. And then at the end, she is asking for a favor. In this chapter, Prabhupada explains how a disciple has to serve the spiritual master faithfully, gain the satisfying fully, and then he can have a chance of asking for a favor. Before that, a disciple cannot ask for a favor from a spiritual master. So Devahuti's example, we can see how she patiently served her husband. She exhibited all the good qualities, and thereby she pleased him. And Kardama, he is going to offer her that which is always anxiously sought after by spiritualists, which is the transcendental vision. So Kashyapa, on seeing Devahuti, Kardama Muni, on seeing Devahuti, he will bless her by saying that I will give you the transcendental knowledge and I will award you fearlessness. So this is what the qualities and the service that she did, this is the result that she gets. By faithfully serving her husband with all the qualities that she possessed, she was able to get the transcendental vision without even performing so much austerities to that level of what her husband has done. Just by faithfully serving her husband, she was able to impress him, and thereby he awards fearlessness. And then, as we know, he also fulfills her desire to have children. So he creates an aerial mansion, and then they travel around the entire universe. Then he expands himself and then impregnates her, and then the daughters were born. And in that section is described how the time when they were together passed so quickly, and then she later regrets how She has not taken proper association of the exalted person, which is her husband. She laments and then she says how illusory energy has royally cheated me by not making any spiritual inquiries. I've just engaged in sense gratification with my husband, but I did not inquire about anything related to spirituality. And she also knows the words of Kardama Muni, saying that after we get children, I will leave the home and then I will start practicing in devotional life. She is also aware of that aspect and she is fearful, like, my husband is going to leave me soon. And seeing her fear, Kardama Muni will pacify her by saying that you have exhibited so many good qualities and by that you've got this, I was able to award you the spiritual knowledge, and also you've fulfilled your material desires and you've got daughters. Now it is time for you to perform austerity, to give charity, and then in that state of mind you will be able to attract the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he will say how the plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to appear in her womb as Lord Kapila. So Kardama Muni will again play the role of the spiritual master and advise her how she has to prepare her consciousness to receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb. Later, the Lord will enter the semen of Kardama Muni and then he will enter the womb of Devahuti. Then he will appear in the home of Kardama and Devahuti. And here we can clearly see how two characters having the same desire of having a child, and then we can see the result, how demons were born for Diti and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is born to Devahuti. The qualities that she exhibited attracted the mercy of her husband, who gave her the transcendental knowledge, fearlessness, and ultimately she was connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even after Kardama Muni leaves home, Devahuti will be instructed by Lord himself personally. That is to the extent of having good qualities and serving the husband. So that's how much you can get by serving the spiritual master faithfully. A disciple will ultimately get connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and will be able to see him face to face and serve him. So this is actually the ornament. These good qualities are the actual ornament, and this is the actual beauty of Mother Devahuti. In the section of Kashyapa and Diti, we can also learn another lesson, how our materially contaminated mind will bring up so many arguments for sense gratification. If the intelligence is not strong enough, the intelligence will also get afflicted by the materially contaminated mind. Similar to how Kashyapa was drawn, pulled down by Diti. Similarly, if the intelligence is not strong enough, if it is not able to control the senses and the mind through proper knowledge, then the intelligence will also get contaminated. That also becomes lusty intelligence. And instead of making progress, the intelligence will plan to satisfy the desires of the mind and the senses, and thereby degrading itself. And ultimately the spirit soul suffers. Another point Prabhupada brings out in that section is how a personal worship of the Lord is superior than the impersonal worship. In that section, he tells how the personalists who are regularly engaged in devotional service to the Lord are more stronger in controlling their senses than the impersonal worship of the Lord. I was thinking in those lines, and then I thought, if we are to revisit this episode of Kashyapa and Diti, and if they were personalists and they are worshipping deities at home, if we were to revisit that same episode, she has a desire to have a child, and Kashyapa is worshipping and he is preparing to worship the deities. Now, because there is a personal presence of the Lord, the amount of feelings that a person has, she will not be exhibiting it so openly. She will control herself first, in the first instance. Because when Kashyapa was just offering oblations to fire, there is no personal aspect of the Lord there. Because there is no other person, she openly expressed her desire. Whereas, if they were having some deities at home and they were worshipping the deities, she will not be so openly expressing her desire. So even if she has expressed that desire, Kashyapa would just use some harsh words to bring her back to her own consciousness. Just if a person is sleeping, we just do like clap hands, or we do that so that they come out of that particular state of mind. And simultaneously, he would have engaged her in devotional activity. Hey, it's time for Gaur Aarti, what are you doing? Go get the plate ready for Aarti. Engage her in devotional service so that she becomes purified. And then he would have engaged himself in the Aarti and asked her also to participate in the devotional service, thereby purifying the consciousness. Now, that is how, when we have the personal presence of the Lord at home, it is a very strong way to overcome the lower feelings. By engaging the devotional service, the husband becomes strong and the wife is also equally strong. Now the situation, if it turns the other way, the wife can also advise her husband. If he is approaching her at the wrong time, she will also tell the same thing. No, this is not the right time and we are supposed to engage in the Lord's service. So thereby, the husband and wife help each other out because they are strongly connected to their deities at home. So that is how I felt personal worship of the Lord is much more powerful in controlling the senses and leading a good family life. And one may say these examples are there just only in the Bhagavatam and it's all very old days. But Srila Gurudev was sharing how one of his godbrothers, when my spiritual master was a brahmachari, one of his godbrother and his wife, they came and spoke to him on a Sunday feast. They saying that they were trying to have children and they chanted 50 rounds and then they felt, we don't want to perform this act because we don't want to come down to this level. Let us postpone. So by strictly following the words of Srila Prabhupada, they also were able to elevate themselves. It is not that it is only at the time of Bhagavatam that the time where it is very Satya Yuga, it is all practical and possible. But it is still practical and possible by following the words of spiritual master. Another time when you may say it's only Prabhupada disciples are at such level, so we can't be at that level. When I was staying in Mayapur and for some time and doing some study, another devotee was also doing Bhakti Shastri, and initially we were part of the same group, we were doing some group work together, And later on I came to know that initially I didn't know that he was married, and then he later told me that he's married, and his wife is also doing Bhakti Shastri for Mataji's side. So she was doing that. And we used to exchange notes, we used to study together, and his name is Vikrama Nityananda Prabhu. later on I just asked him what were you doing, and his job and all that. He was working in a software company earlier, so he quit his job and both he and his wife had come to the Dham to study. I thought, okay, after that I asked him, what are your plans? He said, I wanted to get second initiation, I wanted to do deity worship course also. And we are trying to remain in the Dham for longer, a bit more time, we'll try to see. We're staying in our brother's place. And I said, it's okay, I mean, for Grihastha to give up his job, come to the Dham and do this particular course, and also he wants to do further. And we finished the course, and then later I had to go to Bombay, so I was packing my things, and then that time he again came to my room and we were sharing few things. And at that time he said that the purpose of me coming here to Dham is also to get the blessings and purify myself, and we are trying to have a children here. So his consciousness is such that before he wanted to have a child, he wanted to himself to do Bhakti Shastri, then he wanted to take second initiation, and simultaneously is engaging his wife also to study Shastra and to purify herself. Then they are trying to have a child. I was so amazed at the consciousness that he had. And I thought, okay, it's not that only at the level of Prabhupada disciples they are at that level, but even he was probably in his late 20s, and his consciousness was so high that I started admiring him and felt that yes, by sincerely following the orders of Chuchu Master is very practical, that people are able to get to that exalted position of purifying their own consciousness before trying to have a child at their place. So these qualities are the real ornaments. By exhibiting and by having these qualities and serving the spiritual master and serving the husband, and then the husband serving the wife, as a brahmachari they serving each other. These qualities we can learn from anybody. And these qualities act as an inspiration for us to move forward in our spiritual life. And they are the actual ornaments. So I'll conclude here, and I'll ask if there are any comments, corrections, questions. Just as the comparison was made with the qualities of Devahuti to that of a disciple, can there be a comparison made with that of Diti and that of a disciple? Contrast. Yeah, what should not be done is clearly exhibited in the case of Diti, where one should not speak loudly in front of the spiritual master, demanding him to fulfill your desire. And we should act as per time, place and circumstance, not assume too much of familiarity with him. We should always serve him to our best ability. And even after serving him, we don't have the right to ask for any favor, because the more we try to serve him, the more we get indebted to the spiritual master. We cannot repay what our spiritual master has given to us, taking us out of the cycle of birth and death. The more we try to repay him, the more we get indebted to him. So, asking for favors, and that too materially motivated favors, is not good. But we have to submit ourselves, whatever problems that we have, we have to openly submit to our spiritual master. And then inquire from him, just as Arjuna did, despite my disqualifications, I am surrendering to you, Krishna. Please guide me. So that will be the proper mode. So that's how we can learn lessons from Niti as a disciple. Any other questions? Question is, for removing false ego, we need to worship Pradyumna. Is there a separate personality called Pradyumna? Is that your question? So the Chaturvyuha, expansions of Krishna, one of them is Vasudeva, Sankrishna, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So, in that particular explanation, in that particular purport, Prabhupada gives this understanding how to get out of to control the mind, one has to worship, and to get out of false ego, one has to worship Pradyumna. They are all expansions of Krishna. Ultimately, you can worship Krishna to get out of the false ego. That's one way of understanding. So, Pradyumna is an expansion of Krishna. Does that answer your question? Antarashtra Bhagavatam ki jai, Sanved Bhaktavinda ki jai, Tagore Paramahamsa.